Good morning, 8:13, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher. Well, sometimes your career takes you places you just don't know where you're going to end up. And, especially this time we're living in right now, who knows what's going to happen? Who knew what was going to happen? And our guest is kind of living that. She's a 1984 graduate of Rova High School. Ended up being actually a TV news anchor. Said, you know what, let me give something else a try. Went back to school, became a nurse. Currently resides in Arizona. But right now, she is in New York and helping out with the coronavirus pandemic there. Loretta Budd joins us here this morning. Loretta, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, Tom. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for taking some time with us here this morning. I'm glad we were able to catch you. You actually got a little respite today for a change, which I'm sure you, not that you don't need that as a nurse anyway, but in the situation you're in right now, you probably especially need a little break.
Yeah, it's nice to have a little break. You feel guilty when you're off because, you know, it's time you could be using to help others, of course, while you're here, but it's nice to have a little rest.
Well, let's talk about first what you're doing and why you are where you're at. Of course, you make your home in Arizona now, working as a nurse. What made you decide to go and help out? And you're actually on Long Island at this point, but what made you decide to take that trip and give some help?
Yeah, you know, I have a great job in Arizona, and I work with people I love. And I do have a daughter with special needs. She has cerebral palsy, so I have this really unique assignment where I just work and fill in on floors where there, say, people are on vacation, people are sick, you know, nurses, that is, and or there's maybe an influx of patients overnight from the emergency department and they just need extra help. So I work really, you know, sort of fly by night. I'll just sign up for a shift the night before. But because hospital censuses in certain cities, and Phoenix is, you know, one of them in general, are down because elective surgeries have been canceled, and, you know, we realize how much business these surgeons give us, you know, as far as hospitals go. I wasn't really doing anything. I was sitting on the couch and I was watching the news and I was watching Governor Cuomo. I remember his dad when I used to be a news reporter and broadcaster very well. And I would see Governor Cuomo today or, you know, in recent days talk about, we need people, we need nurses. And I just, you know, it's like he came through the TV and spoke to me and I couldn't just, I wasn't busy working. I had nothing better to do, really. I mean, I have a family, of course, but I was moved and I called and a few days later I was here.
You know, it's interesting. I think the same thing happened on 9/11, that there were people that just felt they just needed to go there to try to help out and do whatever it was they could to help out at that point. So I guess that's kind of the feeling you got as well.
Yeah, I can't describe it, but I would cry, you know, I would cry watching the news every day. I would cry. I would think, you know, these nurses need help. And we all know in healthcare, and if you have common sense in general, that, you know, when staffing is better and you have more eyes to watch these patients and more, you know, the proper equipment, that, you know, people tend to do better. People tend to survive where they might not, you know. Some of these folks you just can't take your eyes off of. And so, you know, I just felt if I can come out for a certain period of time, 6 weeks in my case, then if I can save a few people or just, you know, get them to the ICU if they need to go there sooner than later, then you know what? And also provide relief to nurses, then this was a good thing to do.
Loretta Budd joining us here this morning, 1984 Rova High School graduate working as a nurse and helping out in Long Island in New York right now. And I guess the thought never crossed your mind because with your job anyway, with this virus, you're more at risk, obviously, than the general public on kind of on the front lines, but even more so where you're at now. I'm guessing that must not have even been a second thought for you.
Well, no, it was, actually. I'm not going to lie. I talked myself in and out of this about three different times before I got here. You know, I just was like, is this the right move? I'm 54 years old. I have high blood pressure. You know, it seems to be that people in their 50s, 60s, 70s and beyond, you know, have higher mortality rates as you go up in age, but high blood pressure is not in your favor either. I do take my medicine. I hope everybody takes theirs if they have high blood pressure too. But I had my moments of anxiety and I would say to my husband, you know, if you don't want me to go, I won't go, kind of almost hoping you would say, no, you know, or yeah, maybe you should stay. But he didn't ever say that. He supported me 100%, so I came. But once I got here, then the fear, you know, the fear kind of surprisingly vanished. You're just so busy that, you know, you're joining folks who are very experienced with this at this point and are very helpful and are careful to make sure that you know the procedures and that you have the right equipment. We're lucky we have enough equipment out here. We don't have an endless supply of it, but we have enough, and they're great people to work with.
Well, and obviously a lot of the things that you do normally as a nurse, which we should all be doing as far as the hygiene and all that, you're already doing that, and maybe it's just amplified in this situation?
Yeah. You know, I when I first got here, I set a timer on my Apple Watch to wash my hands every 30 minutes. You use hygiene leaving your room, but, you know, just to wash my hands, just to remind myself to do that, because you get busy and you forget, you know. So we should all be doing that. It's good common sense, and we need to stay, you know, keep our distance from each other, because it's proving here in this highly, you know, densely populated area that keeping adequate distance seems to be helping.
Rova High School grad Loretta Budd working as a nurse right now and volunteering actually in New York on Long Island now. So are you actually in a hospital type situation?
Yeah, I'm in a little, this is the last hospital, Tom, they kind of brag or joke. They say, this is the last hospital before England. So we're the farthest hospital out on Long Island, you know. I mean, they're not taking into account like Nova Scotia and Bermuda, but anyway. And so it's a 100-bed hospital that the governor said, you need to make that a 200-bed hospital. So we literally have patient rooms that were once, you know, like administrative offices, you know, wound care clinics have been converted to patient rooms. So, you know, a lot of people from the city fled out here when the coronavirus really started to kick in. And they came out here seeking, you know, refuge and respite and thinking that they might be a little safer, but we have horrific numbers out here too.
I'd say probably not realizing they were bringing it with them.
And they did, you know, they did. Their reports, nurses were telling us of reports of patients were diagnosed in New York City with coronavirus, hopped on a bus, no mask, because, you know, we weren't wearing masks back then. It's not really our culture to do that. And, you know, thereby infecting everybody on the bus, potentially the driver. And I think the New York City, you know, metro transportation folks and you know, surrounding area transportation folks, there have been an extraordinary number of deaths of bus drivers and train drivers. It's really sad.
Yeah, it really is. Loretta Budd joining us here this morning. She's a Rova High School graduate, and she is helping out as a nurse and on Long Island right now. You know, Loretta, I want to just switch gears a little bit, kind of talk about your path to get where you are today, because it's a really, really interesting one. And I'm guessing if somebody would have asked you, you know, 15, 20 years ago, if you would be doing what you're doing today, you would have told them they were crazy. So kind of talk about your path, because you started, you worked in television in the media. You were a news anchor, and kind of talk about your path there and how you ended up where you are.
Yeah, that's been quite a journey. I studied mass communications in college, and I landed a job at the local TV station in Kirksville, Missouri, right out of the gate. And it was a nice little gig, and I did that for about a year. And then I will just mention one of my favorite people on the planet, Bill Huffman, a very good friend. He and his wife and daughter, super friends. He hired me to come out to West Virginia. And, you know, I never in a million years thought I'd live in West Virginia either. I'd never even been there. And I worked there for quite a few years as a reporter, I worked my way into kind of anchoring the 11 o'clock news and helping out with the 6 o'clock news. And I loved my job. And if I could look back, I would say that might've been one of probably the happiest time of my life. My mom always says that. She says, you, I think you were your happiest when you were in West Virginia. And I know she's right. But that's not to say I don't like my life now. I love my life, but it was a great time. But I did that for quite a few years, and I love the people there. The people are remarkable. They are loving, and they give you the shirt off their back if you needed a shirt. You know, they would do anything for you. And I think, Tom, you know, like we do in the media, I had a hard time picturing myself being 50 years old as a news anchor in some market, whether it was in West Virginia or beyond, you know, worrying about my age, worrying about is my hair sticking out, you know. This was before high definition TV, so I can't even imagine what it's like now. And, you know, you have consultants coming in, and, you know, there's just a lot of weight on your shoulders as far as maintaining a certain image. And I didn't know if I really wanted that forever. So kind of fast forwarding, I have a daughter with cerebral palsy, and which I just mentioned, I know. And I thought, you know, she has a lot of healthcare issues. And that's another thing that drove me here was really, you know, all the people who've helped us with her. I feel like it's paying it forward. But I thought it would be great to be a nurse, to know how to better take care of her. I thought I was going to be a nurse practitioner, but honestly, 2 degrees later, I think I'm done with school. But I'm very happy in this profession. And I feel like I really do feel that I make a difference. Even without a pandemic, you know, I feel like I make a good difference.
Yeah, you know, people in the media don't understand, because it is different in radio, because obviously there, those of us, we, you know, the faces for radio, there's a reason we're not on TV. But that thought of, you get to a certain age and like, man, am I going to sit here, hey, talking up records at whatever my age, but, you know, doing talk, a lot more talk stations now has kind of helped with that for some of us. But I just like, I don't see myself doing that, but this is a transition that's been able to keep me. But you know what? Little hair I have, it doesn't matter if it's sticking out, because nobody sees me. And for me, they don't want to see me. So that's an even better thing. I don't have to worry about it. But
I doubt that's the case.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, like you said, there's always some younger person coming along that in TV, I mean, bottom line, I guess looks make a difference.
Yeah, they do. I mean, especially now, I feel like when I was doing the news, it was a little bit different time. You know, we weren't quite as narcissistic back then. And I went into media because I really did like telling a story. And it just happened to be, I was probably better with video stories than with newspaper stories, because those are longer stories, you know, and you've really got to have the skill set to write a great piece. And oh my gosh, I love the New York Times. I read, you know, a lot of media all day, every day. And I give, you know, when you read a really good article, you're like, dang, that was something, you know, that person deserves some credit. It's a lot easier to do a TV piece. And I think I was a little bit better at that, because it is easier, honestly. But, you know, it's a tough gig, but, you know, I do miss it once in a while. I'm like, gosh, why did I, you know, I should have stayed. Maybe I should have stayed, but it is what it is. And I'm happy to help in this capacity.
Did you ever do any radio in any way, shape, or form? Because I know there are some markets where they some radio stations will have the TV news anchors do their news, or they'll actually carry the live, whatever, say the 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock news on their station.
Yeah, we just I recall doing that in West Virginia, where we would have to do, you know, whatever you were doing, you have to break away from putting your story together to go into the audio booth to do a live cut in with like one of the local radio stations, I think in Beckley, West Virginia, if I remember right. And I think they would also broadcast our show.
Yeah.
You know, there was a good spirit of cooperation there. There really was.
Loretta Budd joining us. She graduated from Rova High School, went on to, was it Northeast Missouri State at the time?
Yeah, now it's Truman.
Truman, yeah.
State. Or Truman something.
Yeah, Truman State. Yep, Truman State University. That's it. Yeah, I knew. Yeah, I was trying to remember when it. I don't remember when exactly it changed, but
I don't either.
Went on to be a TV news anchor, and now is a nurse. And the whole journey, and on top of being a nurse, living in Arizona, now in New York, helping out. So you said you're kind of there on a 6 week gig. How much longer do you have to be there on Long Island?
I'm supposed to go back on my contract is through May 17th. So my husband, you know, we FaceTime every day, and I have to really give him credit, you know, taking care of our daughter. He's also teaching remotely from home. He teaches music. He's a great music teacher, and holding down the fort. He's not complained once, and he completely was supporting me to come here. And in fact, I think, you know, Tom, I think I've already had coronavirus. I don't want to seem like some hero. I actually really think that I had this at the very, very end of January, early February. I had a horrible headache. But people are listening, you know, we don't really even know exactly when this began. I think we're just beginning to learn, you know, when this whole thing kind of began. But I think it started a lot earlier than we think. But I know I'm here until the middle of May, and then I'll go home and owe my husband the world's biggest thank you.
You know, you mentioned that there was a story I saw yesterday afternoon from the LA Times that now They're saying the earliest death in the United States wasn't in Washington at the end of February. It was in the San Francisco Bay Area, actually Silicon Valley, in early February, and a couple of them. So you're wondering, it's like, okay, will that keep getting, and this was based on autopsies, will that keep getting earlier and earlier? Because I've said the same thing right before Christmas, like 2 days before Christmas, I had a fever for about 2 days. I actually missed work the day before Christmas, was sick on Christmas Day. And then I had a cough that lasted until sometime like almost mid-March that finally went away.
Yeah.
And I had a couple other people that worked here. One, and he, and actually his symptoms, and he said his was in February that started with a fever, and he actually had the trouble breathing on top of it. And obviously with us, it didn't get any worse than that, if that's what it was. But yeah, we just don't know.
No, we don't, because when I was, and when I appreciate what you say, because when you have a cough and you work in radio, you tend to remember.
Yes.
That you have a cough. But I was sick in February, and so was Sophie, our daughter, and Randy was like, my husband was like, when are you going to go back to work? Because, you know, I can kind of work when I want. I said, you know what, honey, I can't even see myself walking from the parking lot into the hospital, the one in Scottsdale where I tend to work the most. I was just that short of breath, but my oxygen was fine. But I couldn't even see walking, you know, a short distance. And I like to walk, you know. So I think we're going to find later, and we are finding that this is a puzzle. I look at it as a puzzle that we have some of the pieces and we're getting more pieces, but the actual image, what the puzzle is, it's blurry. We just don't really know, you know.
Well, I guess the good thing is, if you did have it, in fact, then obviously it helped with your immunity with what you're doing now.
That's how I looked at it, and that's what made me decide that I felt like it was an okay thing to come out here, you know, given my age and, you know, having high blood pressure.
Loretta Budd joining us here this morning. She's a Rova High School graduate and doing great things, helping out on the front lines. And I really, Loretta, commend you for what you're doing and your whole journey. It's such an interesting story. See, there's something that, you know, someday you can go, when you go back into media, you have a great story to tell about your whole journey out of media into this and maybe back into media and your trip to New York and all that.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories. I really do, Tom. And I love people's stories, and I'm sure you do too. I know you do too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Loretta, again, I want to thank you for taking some time with us this morning. Really do appreciate it. And stay safe and stay healthy.
Okay. You too. Everybody, hello back there. And you all take care. Thanks.
All right.